This is Global Air Force with your host, Dr. Jim Rome.
I want to share with you today what I've discovered in my life over many years, and that is that God is still doing creative miracles. Two stories, one about a man born without an arm, and the second story will be about a blind man that was born without pupils and an iris. Today I'd like to have a guest. Our guest name is Dr. James Maloney. Book called The Dancing Hand of God. So here goes. In Dr. James Maloney's book, page 345 and on, and it's called Alma Story. I have taken teams over to India for ministry outreach to the tribal people way in the secluded jungles. I mean places so remote they've not seen white folks before. Anyway, on one of these excursions, a precious sister in the Lord from a Lutheran background was part of the team. Her name is Alma. This is what happened to her. We were somewhere, who knows exactly, I don't think I can find it on the map, in northern central India. People were coming in from many tiny villages to hear about this Jesus that we preached, and the Lord graciously revealed himself to these people, whom most had never heard the plan of salvation. We were seeing some tremendous miracles and salvations. Night after night of those crusades, the crowds were swelling. One night in particular, I was going down a line of Indians spread out before me, praying for nearly every conceivable type of disease or infirmity. I was seeing intense miracles to the Lord's glory and honor. Crippling conditions healed, crooked bones made straight, blind eyes and deaf ears opened. It was a blast to see the Lord touch these people. A man stood before me. It didn't take a gift of discernment to see what was wrong with him. I didn't even need an interpreter. This guy had no arm. Now, by no arm, I mean no arm. Not a shriveled arm, not a crippled, mangled arm. It just wasn't there. No arm. I foolishly looked behind him to see if the arm was on the wrong side. Nope, not at all. There was his shoulder, and sticking out of the armpit was a hand, just a hand, waving to me. Did I mention that he did not have no arm? I'm persuaded it had never been created. Pretty easy deduction, I suppose, because there was the hand waving at me, but no arm. Now, Alma was overwhelmed because there was just no way I could pray for hundreds of Indians that were coming out. So I gathered the whole team together and sent them out amongst the people. I figured, what better way to ease them into the power of evangelism than to toss them in the midst of the whole lot of folks with AIDS and cancer and worse. But poor sweet Alma, the first night, a person with leprosy stood up in front of her. So she was a little freaked out, to say the least. Her confidence level was hovering over zero. When that service was over, she came up to me and said, "Now, Brother Jim, I don't know it was going to be this way. I thought I was coming to India to sing some songs and encourage the pastors. I can't handle this. So tomorrow night, when you call up the sick, I'll just go over there behind the pulpit, stand and intercede for you. Don't call me up to lay hands on the people." Of course, I didn't want anyone ministering among the people who didn't have the faith or confidence to pray for them. So I just nodded and said, "Sure, Alma, no problem." In my heart of hearts, I had planned on honoring her request not to make her pray for anybody. But here was this man that had no arm. Remember, he was armless. I had just gone through telling all the people that there was only one true God and wise God, and his name was Jesus, and to prove it to them, bring up all the sick and they will be healed. So far, I had seen great success until this guy with no arm stood before me. I did everything I knew to do. I prayed for this man in English, in tongues, I cast off, I spoke in. Every scripture I knew on healing poured from my lips. I jerked on the man's waving hand. Nothing happened. He was still so, very armless. All eyes were upon me. The kingdom of light and darkness were clashing. The pressure was astounding. Finally, after a few minutes, I gained enough spiritual sense to stop wearing myself out and prayed, "Lord, why isn't this man being healed?" The Lord spoke to me and he said, "You give him to Alma." "Righto." "Oh, Alma, Alma darling, come here please." Alma was behind the podium, intensely praying in tongues, her eyes shut tight. You could hear her fervency. I guess she thought the Lord was calling her because she jerked her head toward the heavens and said, "Yes." "Look, Alma," I said, drawing to her attention to the more earthbound things. "I know last night you said you didn't want to pray for anyone, but I want you to pray for this guy here." Her eyes alighted on the man, and he was armless, by the way. Boy, oh boy, talking about looking daggers at someone. She fixed me with this seething gaze to say, "I told you I didn't want to pray for anyone, and you give me this man? Oh, I'll deal with you later, Jim." But she went up to the armless man, miserable. But she went up nonetheless. Now, in case you don't know, it's very hot in India, like 9 o'clock at night, 90% humidity. And there was close to 500 mothers and children there who would hike sometimes as much as 2 or 3 days to get to these meetings. And I'd say the length of the crusade, some 2, 3, 4 days. We had to shelter them from the heat, so the crusade coordinators, indigenous pastors, constructed a makeshift pavilion out of rafters and put straw on top. Someone thought it was a smart idea to string light bulbs all the way across the rafters because the gatherings went on well after the dark. Problem was, most Indians are relatively short people, so the light bulbs were at my nose level to me. Usually my head would hit the rafters when I was on stage. Can you imagine the bugs that congregated around those light bulbs? I learned to talk through clenched teeth the whole time, because if the heat was unbearable in India, the bugs were worse. Funky-looking bugs, man. I mean, little human faces on them like the Outer Limits episode. Book of Revelation stuff, my friends. Fangs, fur, whatever. God only knows what I swallowed during the sermons. Strangely, I didn't get hungry, though. The bugs were one thing, but we fed the children and the mothers there under the pavilion on the dirt floor. And where the little kids drop food in India, there are rats. Now, the rats in India kill the cats. You think I'm joking? But I'm not. They're mongrels. They're mutant ninja rats, and periodically they'd drop from the rafters to land on the food the kids were eating. We had guys beating them away all day, much to their own physical peril, because rats, they're notoriously foul-tempered, demonized little monsters they were. Anyway, I digress. So there's this pavilion with rafters and straw, and here's Alma with the armless man. You recall, he did not have any arm. We were all standing under the pavilion. She approached him, boring holes into me with her eyes, and miserably flopped her hand on one shoulder of the man that was perfectly normal, not daring to look at the waving hand on the other shoulder. She squeezed her eyes shut, shook her head, and muttered, "Jesus!" Now, at the first or second she did not even get the word Jesus out all the way. Wouldn't you know, that hand that was attached to the man's shoulder shook violently and launched out of the socket like a cannonball flying through the air. Thank God, an arm was attached to it. Otherwise, it would have just been gross. Keep in mind, Alma's eyes were shut. Otherwise, it was not funny. But the man's hand attached to this new arm landed on top of poor sweet Alma's head. "Ah!" she screamed, and knocked that hand off her head. She thought it was a rat, dead serious here, had jumped out of the rafters and landed on her. She screamed, dancing on tiptoes, brushing her hair vehemently, while the man's arm swung like an ape's at his side. He hadn't yet learned to control the muscles. Luckily, the guy was too astonished at his new arm to be offended. Alma recovered her composure and opened her eyes to see this man standing before her, with this perfectly whole, swinging arm. She looked up at me, shocked, looked back down at the man's arm, looked back up at me and shouted, "Brother Maloney, oh my Lord, it works, it really works!" From that moment forward, we could not control Alma. every time we gave an altar call on that trip, should tap me on the shoulder and say, "Excuse me, Brother Maloney," and should cut in front of me and start wading out into the crowds, finding anybody with a crippled or maimed arm. No interpreter needed. Should point to one and say, "And you, and you, and yes, you, and you," 20 to 30 every night. To the best of my knowledge, she saw 100% success. I often thought, what God hath wrought. Oh, praise God. My friend, God wants us to be bold, and of course you need an anointing and you need to be in the right place at the right time, or you need to have the hunger for something like this. I myself have had these experiences when I was in South America. Not quite as dramatic, but blind eyes, deaf ears, people with cancer, people crippled. It is remarkable to see that God is still working today. He's doing today what he did way back then when Jesus was on the earth. It's not so far away, my friend. As the Bible said, don't go thinking that God is far away, that you have to call him. The Bible said he's very near. He's right here. He's in your heart, and he's near, even so close as your mouth. That's what it says in the book of Romans. I pray today that your faith has grown. Your faith has grown that you realize that God is still doing creative miracles, and he can do one for you.
All passengers boarding for Global Air Force are now boarding at Gate 1.